Good morning. It's Thursday, May 7th, 2026, and you're listening to the Acromegaly Update, your weekly digest of the latest research on acromegaly, from clinical trials to mechanisms to real-world practice. This week, we've got 5 papers worth your attention. One comes from a top-tier journal in our specialty, and the remaining 4 surfaced in the broader literature. All of them directly relevant to how we think about acromegaly in 2026. Let's dive in. We'll start with the one that made it through our highest tier filter this week. A letter published in the journal Pituitary. It revisits the final data from ACROSTUDY, the long-running real-world registry for pegvisomant monotherapy. If you've been watching this data over the years, the headline hasn't changed dramatically. Pegvisomant continues to show a solid long-term safety profile, with sustained IGF-1 normalization for patients who can't tolerate or don't respond adequately to somatostatin analogs. This is a letter, not a trial report, but its presence in Pituitary signals that the endocrinology community is still actively consolidating the case for pegvisomant as a standalone option, not just an add-on, for patients stuck on combination therapy primarily for tolerability reasons. This may be worth revisiting with your team. Next, from a Mexican research group, we have a comparative observational study looking at octreotide LAR versus lanreotide autogel, the 2 workhorses of first-generation somatostatin analog therapy. The researchers used SAGIT, a composite scoring tool that wraps together symptoms, associated conditions, GH levels, IGF-1, and tumor volume into 1 interpretable score. The result? No significant advantage for either drug. They performed comparably across most SAGIT domains. Now, this isn't a randomized trial, and Mexican healthcare context matters for how we generalize. But it does add to a growing body of real-world evidence suggesting that in most patients, the choice between these 2 agents comes down to practical factors. Local availability, patient preference for injection schedule, and cost, rather than differential efficacy. The 3rd paper this week is a systematic review on cost-effectiveness. And I know that topic can feel distant from clinical practice, but bear with me. A group publishing in the Journal of Medical Economics synthesized the published health economic analyses for pasireotide LAR, the 2nd-generation SSA with superior biochemical control in hard-to-treat cases, across multiple health systems. Pasireotide came out cost-effective when used in patients who'd failed on first-generation SSAs. No surprises there, but the review makes the important nuance that cost-effectiveness conclusions are highly sensitive to drug pricing and to how you define treatment success. As pasireotide's label expands in payer conversations, evolve. This kind of synthesis is exactly what formulary committees will be looking at. 4th, a finding that may shift how we think about routine follow-up in acromegaly. Researchers in the Journal of Endocrinological Investigation used FibroScan, a non-invasive liver elastography tool, to assess hepatic steatosis in acromegaly patients. What they found is striking. Patients with active, uncontrolled acromegaly had meaningfully higher liver fat scores compared to those in biochemical remission. The hypothesis is that GH and IGF-1 excess drives insulin resistance and alters lipid metabolism in the liver, leading to fat accumulation. And importantly, effective disease control was associated with measurable improvement in these scores. So the question now is practical. Should FibroScan become part of our standard acromegaly workup, alongside glucose tolerance testing, blood pressure monitoring, and cardiac imaging? That conversation seems overdue. Finally, a pathology study on pituitary tumor classification using transcription factor markers, specifically TPIT, PIT1, and SF1. This is more in the weeds, but it matters for those of us thinking about tumor behavior and prognosis after transsphenoidal surgery. PIT1, it turns out, is strongly expressed in GH-secreting tumors, the somatotroph adenoma underlying acromegaly, as well as TSH and prolactin-secreting tumors. TPIT marks the ACTH lineage. Having these immunohistochemical anchors gives pathologists sharper tools for classifying what was removed, which in turn helps predict recurrence risk and guides decisions about adjuvant therapy. As pituitary pathology guidelines continue to evolve, particularly around the 2022 WHO classification, this kind of validation work is essential. Stepping back, this was a moderate week for the field. One confirmed top-tier hit and four solid contributions from the broader literature. Thin in some ways, but meaningful. Looking ahead, the story to watch is paltusotine. The oral somatostatin receptor agonist is moving through phase 3, and if those results hold, it could genuinely shift the first-line landscape. For patients who struggle with monthly injections, an oral option would be transformative. We'll be tracking those readouts closely. Until then, that's your acromegaly update for Thursday, May 7th. Keep watching the data, and we'll be back next week.